exalted our melody be raised. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall drops of blood for mine, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior. Sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burdens to Calvary and suffered and died.
Today is Pentecost Sunday, a day when we celebrate the birthday of the church. Pentecost comes 50 days, 7 weeks after Easter, and Pentecost, the word, means 50th day. Can you believe it's been that long since Easter? I remember preaching in an empty church building that day and about the fact that the church was empty. And here we are at Pentecost, still prohibited from gathering together. Pentecost has its origin in the Jewish Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the second day of Passover, when the apostles, like many other Jews from all over the world, were in Jerusalem, having made a pilgrimage there. In the book we call Acts of the Apostles, remember, Luke and Acts are sort of like one book in two parts, written by Luke. Luke describes what happened in Jerusalem when the apostles were there sometime after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, we read this. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, even upon my slaves, male and female. In those days I'll pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I'll show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law, but God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. This is the written word of God for the people of God."
This is a responsive prayer for Pentecost Sunday. It's written in your service notes. Let's pray together.
God of rushing wind, coming from where it wants and going to where it wants, pour out your spirit upon us. God of fire, flaring on gathered disciples and burning away their stubborn pride,
pour out your spirit upon us.
God of miraculous speaking and hearing, amazing the faithful and riveting their attention to what is about to happen,
Pour out your spirit upon us.
God of the young who see visions, of the old who dream dreams, of male prophets and female prophets,
Pour out your spirit upon us.
God of wonders above the signs below, God of blood, fire, and billowing smoke,
Pour out your spirit upon us.
You raised up Peter to prophesy on Pentecost, Peter to preach straight truth to a crooked generation, Peter to accuse people he loved of complicity in the death of Jesus.
Pour out your spirit upon us.
God of wind and fire and tongues, God of visions and dreams and prophecies, God of signs and wonders,
Pour out your spirit upon us.
You raised up Peter to preach Jesus to a skeptical audience, and with the two-edged sword of Peter's word, you cut through the armor of a crooked generation. You pricked their hearts and saved them.
Great God, send your spirit to save us too.
You sent your spirit to assail hard hearts. You sent repentance and faith, baptism and forgiveness, teaching and fellowship, communion and prayer. Great God, send your spirit to save us too.
Amen.
Our scripture for today is from the beginning of the book of Acts. And as we mentioned last Sunday, you'll remember that was Ascension Sunday. The ascension of Jesus provides both an ending for the Gospel of Luke, part one of Luke Acts, and the beginning of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. At the ascension, the disciples have asked Jesus if he was about to restore the kingdom to Israel. They're looking for political and cultural influence to be granted to their nation. Then Jesus ascends, and two angels ask, "What are you doing here just looking up into the sky? You've been commanded to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then the disciples choose a replacement for Judas. You'll remember he had done himself in after betraying Jesus. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, we find that when the apostles are gathered in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit descends upon them like tongues of fire, they speak to the pilgrims who have come to Jerusalem from all over the world, each in their own native language. And the crowd, for the most part, is amazed. But some mock the apostles and say, "You're drunk." You know, as I reflect on that scripture for today, I think about those disciples gathered with expectancy those many years ago, and I am struck by the words of that first verse of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And that strikes me because I am reminded that we as a church body have not, in some considerable time, been all together in one place. The last time we gathered together in one place in our church building was March 15th, the Ides of March. And this is the 11th Sunday since then. It's not quite a month of Sundays, but it's a considerable time. But one thing I've learned over those 11 Sundays, 11 weeks, is this: the body of Christ doesn't need to be in the same church building at 21 Aiken Street on a Sunday morning to be all together in one place. No, just as surely as the disciples were all together in one place in Jerusalem, we are all together in one place right now. What we have seen over the last 11 weeks, I think, is that our definition of one place might have previously been too small. That one place can certainly mean our little sanctuary, but it can also mean this place, right here, right now, when we are gathered virtually, even though we may be in different dwellings, in different cities, in different countries, even across different continents, and even at different times. The Holy Spirit can move in and through time and space itself and gather us all together in one place, here and now. So here we are, gathered together with expectation. Now, today is not only Pentecost Sunday, it's also our Big Faith Sunday. And so this morning, we want to consider Peter as our example of Big Faith. And we'll continue the discussion in today's Big Faith Bible study at 3 o'clock on Zoom. That's 3 o'clock so that we can be free for the district's Pentecost service in the evening at 6 on Facebook and YouTube and Zoom. And so for a little while, we're going to consider Peter's big faith. And to do so, I want to look at some of the words from the prayer that we started with that Pastor Tasha led us in. In that prayer, we read, God of wonders above the signs below, God of blood, fire, and billowing smoke, you raised up Peter to prophesy on Pentecost. You raised up Peter to prophesy on Pentecost. Peter to preach straight truth to a crooked generation. Peter to accuse people he loved of complicity in the death of Jesus. Now let's look at the first part of that statement. You raised up Peter. Now we can't mention that Peter is raised up without considering where he was raised up from. Because Peter was raised up. This Peter that we see filled with and guided by the Holy Spirit here in the second chapter of Acts, who stands and raises his voice and responds to those who mockingly accuse the apostles of getting drunk early in the morning, is a different Peter from the one we see in Luke's Gospel, part 1 of Luke Acts. The first time we meet Peter in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, he's called Simon Peter. There, Jesus tells him and his fellow fishermen how to bring in a huge catch. And Peter does as Jesus says, and sure enough, they catch so much that their boats begin to sink. And we read in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on shore and left everything and followed him. Now, check out the way that Peter's words reflect his attitude toward himself. "I am a sinful man. I'm not worthy to be near you. Get away from me." This is how he sees himself and what he thinks his motivation is. But Jesus' answer betrays Peter's true primary motivation, and his true motivation is fear. He is afraid of who Jesus is, of what Jesus can do, what Jesus means to his life. He's probably thinking, "What do I do now that I've seen this?" And Jesus tells him, "Do not be afraid." And Peter listens and leaves everything to follow Jesus. Now, let's look at an event involving Peter toward the end of Luke's gospel. But first, we should mention that just a few chapters on, Peter knows and acknowledges Jesus as Messiah. In Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 18, we read, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowd say I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.' 'Well, what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Peter answered, 'God's Messiah.'" I think Luke is giving us a detail to provide more context, more meaning to what's coming later. When Luke singles Peter out here, I think he's intentionally letting us know, look, Peter knows exactly who Jesus is, even if he doesn't quite understand all that that entails, and he acknowledges it to Jesus' face. But later in chapter 22, when the crucifixion is taking place, he denies him anyway. Not because he's unsure, not because he's undecided or uncertain that Jesus is the Messiah. He knows. And yet in chapter 22 of Luke's gospel we read, with verse 56, "Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light, looking closely at him, said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And a little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You're also one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' After an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, 'Certainly, this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." Here, we see the depth of Peter's denial. He denies that he was with Jesus, the person. Then, he denies that he is one of his followers, the group. Then, he even denies that he's from Galilee, the place associated with Jesus and his followers. Why? Because he's fearful of his accusers. We saw from the first moment Jesus meets Peter, when he asks, "Why are you afraid?" We see that fear is one of, if not the primary motivating factor in Peter's personality. Peter couldn't even stand up to a servant girl in the Gospel of Luke. He buckled under the pressure of her accusation. But here, in the second chapter of Acts, after Pentecost, when he is filled with the Spirit, now to those who accuse and mock, he stands up and raises his voice and says, "Listen up, you need to hear this." And he proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah and tells the good news of the gospel even in the face of those who mock and accuse, as the Spirit gives him the ability. Luke tells us that the disciples communicated with the crowds as the Spirit gave them the ability. As the Spirit gave them ability. Not as the Spirit used their talents. Not as the Spirit enhanced their capabilities. Not as the Spirit cooperated with their skills. No. As the Spirit gave them ability. And so we see Peter standing up, raising his voice. He delivers this stirring sermon to devout Jews from all over the world, proclaiming the place of Jesus in the history of the Hebrew people, in the line of David, foretold by Joel's prophecy, specifically to those who are mocking and disbelieving, Israelite to Israelites, but not cowering and denying now. Peter's not trained in the law like Paul, who we've spent the last few weeks talking about. You remember that list of qualifications Paul told us about? No, Peter doesn't have one of those. Peter is an unknown fisherman with no training, and yet he is able to deliver this convincing and convicting sermon to devout Jews from all over the world, the kinds of Jews who would have been able and willing to make the pilgrimage all the way to Jerusalem. And so we find that Peter, a poor, unknown fisherman, becomes the leader of the early church, the one whose sermons serve as the source for the Gospel of Mark, the original gospel. Peter should not have the ability to fill that role, but he does. Today, Peter's example challenges us. Are we afraid of those who might mock us? Those who would accuse us of acting improperly, of being associated with the followers of Jesus, or are we led by the Holy Spirit? Do we proclaim the gospel as the Spirit gives the ability? Right here, right now, in this place where we are gathered, the Holy Spirit is fully able to change fear into boldness, to transform those who would cower and hide into those who would stand up and raise their voices, who proclaim with prophetic zeal the good news of the gospel to a lost and a broken world. And that same Spirit that changes Peter can change us and can give us the ability to communicate the gospel in a language that folks need to hear it in. How often do we lament, "I'm not able to. If only I were able to teach, to preach, to encourage, to give, to build up, to feed, to heal, to visit, to protest, to work against injustice, to work for justice, to house the homeless, to rescue the perishing." But you don't have to be able. The Holy Spirit can give you the ability to do anything God calls you to do. And if God calls you to it, the Holy Spirit will equip you for it. Peter is raised up. Peter, who considers himself a lowly sinner at the beginning of Luke's gospel, is elevated to a disciple who recognizes Jesus as Messiah to the head of the church. And Peter, who finds himself at his lowest point when he denies the Lord three times, is empowered by the Spirit who descends to where Peter is and enables him to rise, to stand up at Pentecost, raising his voice to his accusers. Peter is raised up at Pentecost. But there are more words to that statement in this prayer. The writer says, you raised up Peter to prophesy on Pentecost. To prophesy. You raised up Peter to prophesy on Pentecost. Peter to preach straight truth to a crooked generation. Peter to accuse people he loved of complicity in the death of Jesus. You raised up Peter to preach Jesus to a skeptical audience. And with the two-edged sword of Peter's word, you cut through the armor of a crooked generation. You pricked their hearts and saved them. Why is Peter raised up? He is raised up to prophesy. Now, you'll recall that when we use the word prophesy, we're not simply talking about telling the future, but about having a prophetic voice. We're talking about calling for repentance and a change in behavior or in a societal situation, and looking to God's wrath or God's forgiveness and reward, giving a forecast about what's coming depending on the response to the prophetic words. So prophecy is about calling for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, and assuring that reward or punishment will be the result of the response to that call. Now, Peter is clear about the need for repentance when he says to his audience in Jerusalem in verse 22, Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and you, with the help of the Roman Empire, you crucified him. And so what does Peter tell the crowd down in verse 38? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter, like the church today, testifies not only to what is going to happen, but what has happened. So Peter can tell the crowd at Jerusalem, you know his deeds of power. You know about the crucifixion and resurrection. You see what is happening here at Pentecost. We read in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? We've seen Peter's answer to this question, repent, be baptized, be forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes on to add in verse 40, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. That is, live differently. Didn't we hear over the last few weeks Paul admonishing the church at Philippi to be different, to act differently, to think differently, to shun the ways of those enemies of the cross whose God is the belly? And to the church at Rome, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. This is the same advice Peter has given to his fellow Jews in Jerusalem. Because Peter was raised up to prophesy on Pentecost. Peter was raised up to preach straight truth to a crooked generation, to accuse people he loved of complicity in the death of Jesus. Peter was raised up to preach Jesus to a skeptical audience. These last 11 weeks have been sort of a scary time for the church. We've been forced out of our comfort zone. We've been forced to find new ways to communicate, to speak through new media in new languages. And if there's anything that we can learn from Peter today, I believe it's that the Holy Spirit can transform fear into boldness, that the Holy Spirit can raise us up to prophesy, that the Holy Spirit gives us abilities that we would not otherwise possess, that the Holy Spirit can enable us to speak to a skeptical world in a language that they can understand, calling them to repentance and forgiveness and proclaiming the good news of Jesus to all the world. Join us at 3 p.m. today for our Big Faith Bible study. We'll have some good fellowship, and there's a lot more to learn and to discuss. Next week, we'll be beginning a brand new sermon series that Pastor Tasha and I are very excited about. Watch during the week for an announcement about it. I'm not going to tell you any more than that, but just wait. Yeah, I think you'll be glad about it too. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Go forth from this place remembering God's promise to pour out the Holy Spirit unto all the world. Rejoice in the power of the Spirit that moves within and among us. Tell the good news of the gospel everywhere you go and in everything you do, trusting that the Spirit will translate when needed. Amen.